Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us on the line is Dr. Nivesh Sewial, who is a healthcare practitioner. He's a specialist, a physician, and a pulmonologist. A very good morning. Thanks for chatting to us again. How are you?
Yeah, nice to be here, Howard. Good for having me.
It is No Tobacco Day. And one of the questions that I always think about, and I mentioned it earlier, is my late grandmother at 86 was told to stop smoking because she needed a hip operation. She said, what, am I going to die young? And they said, no, but we're not going to do the op without you whilst you're a smoker. She stopped smoking, did the surgery, and I think she died at about the age of 94. Everybody's got a story of somebody who lived to a ripe old age and despite smoking their entire lives. I guess it's cognitive dissonance, but how does it work? What is the impact of smoking on most people?
Okay, so the short answer is, if you have good genes, you will be fine. The problem is, you don't know that you've had those good genes until you hit 94. Most people, if they continue smoking, right, most people won't actually live to that point, and they'll end up with all the trouble in between. The short answer is, it doesn't matter who you are or how good your genes are. If you stop smoking, or if you do not smoke, you will live longer and be healthier. So maybe the 94-year-old would have lived to 100, maybe the quality of life would have been better.
Maybe she would have been more pleasant.
It does do damage.
Because she wasn't an easy grandmother. You know, she wasn't one of those loving ones. But
but then you must add a few more things rather than the tobacco.
So it's not the tobacco. So it does a lot of things, but it didn't make her miserable. Right.
Didn't make her miserable. So the point of the matter is, like it says on the boxes, it's bad for you. They even print it in big print these days. And when you look at a box of cigarettes, everyone knows that it's bad for you. But most people just sort of ignore it because it's an addiction. Nicotine is a drug, and you get addicted to the nicotine the same way some people get addicted to caffeine and, Red Bull sports drinks and, all the other heavier stuff. So it is an addiction. The problem comes in not just with the nicotine, because one would say, well, if it's just nicotine, then you could have nicotine gum. In the cigarette itself, there's probably about 4,000 other chemicals that you're inhaling at the same time. And that's what causes the trouble. So yeah, I'm a pulmonologist, and lungs are the first things that are affected with cigarettes, and quite rightly so, because you're inhaling smoke. But what people tend to forget is that, everyone sort of focuses on lung cancer. And sure, probably only about 15% of people who smoke will get lung cancer. So you'd say, well, I'll take my chances with the other 80% or so. But if you smoke long enough, you will get emphysema, and you will get what we call obstructive lung disease, so you won't be able to breathe. But those are just the lung stuff.
And we're not even talking about the disease. It's a terrible way to live a life and eventually die.
Absolutely. Well, the point is, if you get emphysema and you get chronic obstructive lung disease, that process of breathing, which should be something that's quite natural, becomes an energy-sapping thing that basically takes up your entire day, just getting up the energy to suck in air. But this is just the lung stuff. What people tend not to realize is that it causes so many other diseases other than lung diseases, including heart attacks. It's one of the biggest causes of vascular disease, which means heart attacks, strokes, kidney failure. Those are the vascular diseases that we worry about. And those are far more prevalent. Now, you add those to a few other diseases of the old Professor Harry Siftel used to call them the diseases of sloth and lifestyle. So you add on a little bit of smoking and a little bit of being overweight and a little bit of diabetes and a little bit of high cholesterol. And if you're blessed to have terrible genetics, this is basically the genetic jackpot and the cauldron of stuff that will make you have bad things going on, let alone a bit of COPD, a bit of heart disease, and a bit of this and a bit of that. And that's where longevity comes
down. And when you talk about
down.
COPD, that's emphysema, is that right?
That's emphysema. So that's basically the blanket term for emphysema. But emphysema is one end of the spectrum. Anything from a smoker's cough, where people say, well, it's my normal, get up in the morning and I have my normal smoker's cough. There's no such thing as a normal cough like that. So that's one end of the spectrum. Then people who get bronchitis frequently, then people who battle to breathe, and people to eventually get emphysema.
So it's all on a spectrum.
That whole spectrum is COPD.
That is interesting. But the question is this, and you mentioned it yourself, you couldn't write it bigger on a cigarette box, that cigarette cigarette smoking is bad for you. There's not a person walking on this earth who smokes cigarettes yep. and who isn't aware of that information. Why is sure. it, though, that we can't manage it better? Surely there's got to be a different approach.
Well, I think that's where human nature comes in as well. There are a lot of things that are bad for you that people just ignore. So the point is, you know, for many years now, look, if you take away the years in the 1950s with all the conspiracy theories about, well, not entirely conspiracy theories about the big tobacco companies not being entirely honest about the addictive potential of all of these. So there were a few things that happened from them. But if you take anywhere from the late '70s onwards, everybody knows that this is bad for you. Mm, from the time they stopped advertising in the cinemas and not allowed to smoke on aeroplanes and so on. There's a concerted drive towards telling people that smoking is bad for you. But there are plenty of things in this world that are bad for us that people continue to do. And it is an addiction. The problem that I have, though, if someone's an established addict, that's one thing. What we're finding, very disturbingly, is that there's increased numbers of youngsters who are being introduced to cigarettes and nicotine addiction, primarily through things like vapes, are not particularly great. You know, that whole new vaping craze is actually not fantastic. And in fact, in some ways could be even worse than cigarette smoking. And the biggest problem that we find with that, it's that it's now introducing a new generation of younger addicts to cigarettes and cigarette smoking.
And the problem with that as well is it's much harder to detect on your kids. So there's no, you know, you don't walk into their room and see cigarette smoke or smell it on them. It's almost deemed, you know, and they're marketing it very, very well with all these bright colors as though it's a health product.
Well, this is exactly it. And you do get, I mean, I've got parents coming to me saying, well, you know, surely all the kids get together and it's not that bad. So I think we need to educate parents as well and say, well, there is as much a taboo as smoking cigarettes. It's the same thing.
And
we won't get into the smoking marijuana, which is now very much the
The worry, as far as I can understand, with vaping as well, is that it takes a liquid, turns it into a vapor, a sort of a gas or whatever it would be, and then it relines your lungs with that liquid, and we don't really know the long term impact of that, do we?
Correct. I've heard every argument and theory about it being much lower in terms of nicotine content, so it's good. And in fact, all these things start with some degree of authority and misled science. So people quote one paper about a guy in the NHS who decided to put it onto the NHS formulary as a way to quit smoking. And now that's been seriously debunked in, you know, in that sort of, regard there. But the reality is that you're taking stage smoke, stuff that they make stage smoke with, and that's what you're inhaling at high temperature, and you're changing chemical, and when you burn a chemical, things change in terms of the chemical structure, and what might be relatively inert becomes fairly toxic and poisonous when you change the temperature and you heat it up. So you're getting a whole lot of chemicals in there that you actually have no idea what it's doing, let alone the amount of nicotine or flavorants or other stuff that's in those vapes. So in reality, it does exactly what a cigarette would do.
There is a move to try and ban some of the vapes with very high levels. How is South Africa doing in that regard?
Not particularly well. Look, we're going to be lagging behind these for a while. And worldwide, there is an issue with all of these as well. You know, North America and Europe have varied legislation already. Some states in the U.S. have banned them completely. And some places right next door, it's completely fine. It's interesting, though, that in the Netherlands, where, you know, everyone thinks things are fairly free and easy and you could get marijuana at every cafe corner, vaping has actually been made illegal there.
That's very funny.
I always find that fascinating.
Yeah, quite ironic.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. Dr. Nivesh Asewal is a healthcare practitioner specializing as a physician pulmonologist. Thank you, as always, for chatting to us. Sure.